The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome, welcome, welcome to a Wednesday edition of Bob Burney Live. This is the 4 o'clock hour, approaching 7 minutes after the top of the hour. And we welcome, in addition to our usual listeners here in Columbus, Ohio, Bob Burney Live, on the Word AM 880 and 104.5 FM. For the next couple of days, few days, we have the privilege also of welcoming our listeners in Tampa, Florida, on Faith Talk 570 and 910 AM, the great WTBN in Tampa. Great station. Got to meet many of the staff members last February when Joy and I were in Tampa for a little bit. And it's just an honor and a privilege to sit in for my dear friend Bill Bunkley as he's away on vacation and continue to host my program here in Ohio. So it's just a great, great privilege to welcome all of you to the program. If you were listening yesterday, I had a little bit of Bible and archaeology news, and I love these stories, and I usually find at least one a month, possibly two a month, but it's rare that I find stories like this back-to-back days. Yesterday, archaeological proof that the prophet in the Old Testament, the judge, Gideon, actually existed. Yeah, archaeological evidence. And today, here is the headline out of Israel. This is from the Jerusalem Post. Today, archaeologists find part of Jerusalem's wall. Yeah, a section of Jerusalem's city wall built some 2,700 years ago and mostly destroyed by the Babylonian army in 586 BC was uncovered by archaeologists in the City of David National Park. Now, let me stop just for a moment. I don't want to be repetitious from what I said yesterday, but it was not long ago that skeptics of the Bible said, well, you know, a good part of the Old Testament is about this David guy, this king that was supposedly be one of the greatest kings that Israel had ever known. Well, that was 2,000 years ago, and we don't have any archaeological evidence that he even existed. If he was such a great king, if he was so influential, certainly by now we would have found some archaeological evidence that this David dude existed, but we don't have any. They can't say that now. A few years ago, and I don't remember how long ago it was, but it was not that long ago they began making discoveries about David. Here, there, here, and now, as I just read, there is a City of David National Park. I mean, if you go to Israel, you will obviously, one of the places you want to go is the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall, and your bus will park on the street, and you will walk across the street, and you will see a huge excavation site going way down into a valley. It's the City of David. There is an abundant amount now of archaeological evidence that indeed David did exist. And so, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to chase that rabbit, but it's an important rabbit. This discovery was uncovered close to the City of David National Park. And this was just announced, well, actually it was announced today in Israel, and of course one of these 6-7 hours ahead of us, but this was announced today in Israel. Quote, the massive structure, some 5 meters wide, was built on a steep eastern slope leading to the city, just a few dozen meters away from the Temple Mount. Probably the steepness of the area preserved the structure from destruction during the Babylonian conquest, a vivid account of which is offered in the Bible, since the invading army likely accessed the city from a much easier path. And then the article from the Jerusalem Post gives a lengthy quote from 2 Kings. Now, here's where this gets really exciting. Skeptics, again, skeptics have long said, not recently, because there's abundant evidence now, but it wasn't that long ago the skeptics said, hey, this Babylonian captivity thing that you read about in the Bible, that they came and captured the people and took them to Babylon. We have a lot of evidence of that. But this discovery gives even more evidence. Right behind this wall that they have uncovered, which they believe is an outer wall of the city of Jerusalem, in a place where there was a mystery. Indeed, the remains not only present an incredible testimony into centuries of life in Jerusalem and their tragic end, but also solved a decades-long archaeological mystery. And then the story details archaeological excavations back in the 1960s and the 1970s, where another portion of the wall, quite a distance away, was uncovered. But it seemed there was nothing in between. Anyway, they now believe that this section that has been discovered solves this decades-long mystery about where the wall was, did it really exist, and so on and so forth. The archaeologist in charge of this discovery said, quote, when we exposed the first part of the wall, an area about 1 meter per 1 meter large, I immediately understood what we had found. I almost cried. Now, what does the Bible tell us about when the Babylonians overran Jerusalem? They burned everything that would burn. And then they tore down the walls, but evidently this part of the wall was on a very steep grade, and evidently the Babylonians thought, that's too much work, and they left it. Inside the wall, they have found an abundant amount of evidence of buildings having been burned, just like the Bible says. Yeah, it's an exciting discovery just announced today in Jerusalem. And let me repeat what I said yesterday. These individual archaeological discoveries, each one individually, does not validate the rest of the Bible. But when you consider the fact that thousands and thousands and thousands of discoveries have been uncovered in the last 75 to 100 years that relate to the Bible and Bible stories, Bible characters, and so forth, and not one of them, not one, to my knowledge, has ever contradicted one word, one verse, one chapter in the Bible. So one discovery, it's exciting, it doesn't prove a whole lot. But when you put that many thousands of pieces of the puzzle together, every one of them validating another portion of God's word, it becomes more and more difficult to be a skeptic, folks. All right, I got to take a break, but let me remind you, don't ever be embarrassed to say that you believe the Bible. Announced today in Israel, another piece of the puzzle. Don't ever be ashamed or embarrassed that you believe the Bible.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
I have a few little sayings that I use all the time. I hope my listeners don't get tired of my repetition, but I think they're important to repeat. And one of them is, the devil lives in the extremes. No, I really do believe that. You take any topic, any subject, any area of life, and if the devil can get you and I to go to one extreme or the other, he wins. Let's take, for instance, human sexuality. All right? What are the extremes? Well, one extreme, God hates fags. Remember the loony people from Kansas? That were going around and picketing and demonstrating at funerals and stuff. And they were part of the God hates fags crowd. And hey, folks, listen, that is unbiblical. It is unscriptural. Oh, that's the same thing, unbiblical and scriptural. It's wicked. It's evil. It's terribly unbalanced. God loves all people. He desires that all people will come to himself. To only pronounce judgment upon someone living in a particular kind of sin, only to announce judgment, is unbiblical, unbalanced, and an extreme. What is the other extreme? Well, the only thing that matters is love. That's all. It's none of your business. It's none of my business who somebody loves. And guess what? God doesn't care either. It's just about love. And so we do not talk about sin. We don't point out that this behavior is sin because, well, that would be condemnation, even if you do it lovingly. May I say that that is an unbiblical, wicked, evil extreme. Well, listen to this article, and I hope this doesn't offend you, because I know many of you really appreciate Amy Grant. I like a lot of her music, but folks, she's gone off the deep end. She was the guest on Apple Music's LGBTQ-themed Proud Radio with host Hunter Kelly. Now, again, let me set the stage. Amy Grant is on an interview program with Apple Music's LGBTQ-themed Proud Radio with host Hunter Kelly. And let me read just a couple of quotes. The host, Hunter Kelly, is an out and proud, loud and proud homosexual, okay? During the interview, Amy Grant said this, and I quote, "Who loves us more than the one who made us? None of us are a surprise to God. Nothing about who we are or what we've done. That's why, to me, it's so important to set a welcome table. Because I was invited to a table where someone said, 'Don't be afraid, you're loved. Gay, straight, it does not matter. It doesn't matter how we behave.'" Again, I'm quoting from Amy Grant. "It does not matter, gay, straight, it doesn't matter how we behave. It doesn't matter how we are wired." Well, here's the problem. Science has proven that there is no such thing as a gay gene. no one is born homosexual. We have seen this argument for years. Is it nature or nurture? If it's nature, that's just the way you're born and you can't change it. Well, that's one thing. If it's nurture, your circumstances, the choices that you make, the way you were raised, by whom you were raised, and so on. That's a totally different thing. We now know scientifically it is not nature. It is far more nurture. And yet, sadly, Amy Grant has believed the lie that you are hardwired to become homosexual and there's nothing you can do about it. Quote, the award-winning singer continued arguing that we are all our best selves when we believe to our core, I am loved. Amy Grant's words were celebrated by the host and other members of the LGBTQ community on social media. In a Twitter thread, Kelly shared a personal story about how Grant's music changed his life and even helped him accept that he was gay. Eventually, Kelly came to believe that he was simply born gay. He added that the therapy further solidified this belief by helping him realize it didn't matter why he was gay. He said, quote, to hear Amy say on this episode that I am welcome at God's table as a gay man is so affirming. Thank you, Amy Grant. You've changed my life in so many ways. God has worked many of her greatest wonders in my life. God has worked many of her greatest wonders in my life through you. Oh, I call God she to fight the patriarchy. No, it's not my intent to attack Amy Grant. What I am attacking, however, is the falseness of her statements. It is not love to affirm something that God condemns. It is not love to affirm something that is harmful. If you take out the biblical, if you take out the moral aspect, and look purely at the medical health aspects of homosexuality, you find it's an incredibly dangerous lifestyle. There is nothing loving about affirming that. Would you affirm someone who's smoking, knowing that it's destroying their lungs? Would you? Would that be loving? To affirm someone's unhealthy lifestyle? Of course that's not loving. Like I said, the devil lives in the extremes. There are some on the far right that go to that far right extreme of the God hates fags. We should reject that. We should treat everyone with love. But this is the opposite extreme. And it's probably more dangerous because it is embraced by far more people in the Christian community than the other extreme. All right, quick break. We'll be back.